We're doing Mishlei, and we're going to learn the conclusion of Mishlei, the beautiful song of Eshet Chayil. And just before the song of Eshet Chayil, we have the piece we discussed a minute ago, the rebuke of Shlomo's mother, how she tells him, don't waste your strength on women, don't waste your strength on wine. Wine has a purpose in this world, and it's not for the kings to be drinking. There are situations where a person needs wine to alleviate their pain, but it's not meant for you. Make sure you're available for those who have no mouth. You as king have to represent those that have no representation. Make sure you are just. Make sure you are helpful to the poor. So that's his mother's concluding rebuke, and Shlomo HaMelech puts that at the end of Mishlei, so to speak. He ends with his mother's thoughts. And then he has a piece on the righteous woman, which, according to one interpretation, he is saying in honor of his mother. Eshet Chayil Miyimtza, whoever found the righteous woman, he's talking about his mother, the righteous woman, Bat Shema. So that's one interpretation over here. Eshet Chayil. A woman who is Chayil. Miimta. Who can find? So, the whole book of Mishlei speaks about different women. Speaks about the good woman, representing the Torah, the good wife, representing the Torah. Speaks about the evil woman, the evil wife, the deceitful wife that represents paganism. And at the end of the book, we find a new wife, an Eshet Chayil. Right? There's Isha Maskalet, an intelligent wife. There are many things, but what is an Eshet Chayil? Okay? So, one interpretation, the Targum says, that's a kosher wife. Eshet Chayil, Isha Chesherta, says the Targum. Who can find her? She is more precious than Pninin, which will translate as gems, even though it's a different type of jewel. So, what does the word Chayil mean? Chayil could mean one who has fear of heaven above. Chayil could mean one who knows how to make money. Who could find a woman who knows how to make money? That certainly lends itself to the whole chapter, because she knows how to deal with wool and linen, and she's up at night sewing things. So it certainly sounds like it's talking about money. That's a good pshat. That's Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says, Eshet Chayil means a woman who could make you a lot of money. Okay, that doesn't sound like that's the way we would conclude Mishlei. Go find a woman who could make you a lot of money, unless, again, we remember that this is Mishlei, that money is not money, and a woman is not a woman. We're talking about things of value in allegorical terms. Shlomo HaMelech, when he speaks about a woman who can produce, she is a great producer. She is a great economical investment. He's not talking about economics, right? He's talking about she can produce wonderful products in the spiritual sense, so that's why it's called Mishlei. Because kol dvarav, as Rashi says in the beginning of Mishlei, kol dvarav bimshalim. Everything Shlomo's going to say in this book is allegorical. Everything he wants to say is an allegory. So he speaks about the woman, but he's not talking about a woman. He's talking about things of value in life. He's talking about Torah. He's talking about leading a life of value. So, Eshet Chayil mi yimtza. I don't know why Shlomo asked the question. I don't know why he ends the book with a question. He's saying, it's so hard to find. Rachok mit ninim micha. He says, if you want to buy her, so then it costs you more than these precious jewels called pninim. So he's saying, it's hard to find, and it's of tremendous value. Okay. Eshet Chayil. טוב. What does it mean, Eshet Chayil? The wife of Chayil? What does it mean, Eshet Chayil, no? Right? Americans read it as Mechalkel Chayim. Mechalkel Chayim. So I have a relative who would always ask the Chazan afterwards, who's the Chayim you're asking? He should have Kalkala. He should have Parnasa. Mechalkel Chayim. Hashem gives Chayim Parnasa. Eshet Chayil. The wife of Chayil. What does it mean, Eshet Chayil? It means a woman who's attached to this concept of Chayil. That means that's an integral component of who she is. Usually the word Chayil represents the fear of heaven. I want to read the commentary over here. We have the Malbim. So he says, most commentaries say it's talking about the soul. And that's how I think you should explain this. That it's talking about the soul. And he says there are different parts of the soul, and he's talking about the lower part of the soul. There's this part of the soul that what we call the neshama, the part of the soul that is more connected to what's above, and then there's the part of the soul that gives life, but it's more connected to the more earthly life. So he says, to engage a woman in metaphorical terms means you're connecting her to what's important in life. To engage a woman is the metaphor for life. Am I connecting my life with what's important in life? Eshet Chayil, can I take that part of me which is supposed to be my wife? We're viewing things as though there's me, which is divided into the spiritual part, the more mundane part. My life has different aspects to it. Part of life, animals also have life. Plants have life. Part of life is spiritual. Part of my neshama is spiritual. Part of my nefesh is less spiritual. When I marry my nefesh, that means I'm connecting it to that which is more spiritual, to that other part of who I am. There are two types of souls that are considered a good wife, says the Malbim. Some people are born and their nature is more inclined to being good. Their nature, their life is more inclined to connecting to that which is good. Then you have people who have to work at it. People who work at it, well, they're also considered a good wife. In other words, their soul is compatible, is willing to connect to that which is greater. Eshet Chayil is the wife who's willing to work to make herself compatible. That's the part of me that's not so compatible with spiritual things. And if I'm willing to work and make them compatible, that's the Eshet Chayil. And the Torah is compared to an Eshet Chayil. What's the evil woman, says the Malbim? That's when one finds himself running all over the place, where the animalistic part of him is pulling him in every direction. And then her husband, which is the metaphor for the part of the soul that keeps wanting to pull us in the right direction, he's always finding himself with an inner battle. Meaning, am I always fighting? Or am I finding myself willing to connect to what's right? And he says, when we speak in Mishlei about a marriage that's all quarrel, we're talking about a person who doesn't attain peace. We're talking about a person who, within himself, there's constant turmoil. This goes back to a concept we discussed previously. People ask, how do I know Hashem is real? How do I know Torah is real? How do I know I'm supposed to go this way of life? And there are two answers. There's the answer of how do I work up to it, which again has multiple answers. And then there's how do I wake up in the morning? You don't want to wake up every morning and ask the question again, is there a God? Is Judaism real? You can live a certain amount of time in your life where you ask the question, you have to reach a certain answer and reach a certain peace so you can grow beyond that answer. Because if you keep coming back and asking the question, what you're really doing is you're not growing beyond the question. So there has to come a point where you say, I have closure, I want to move forward. And that closure is what allows us to have peace and grow beyond that point. It doesn't mean we won't revisit the question. Our nature is that we do revisit the question. But I can't do it every day. If I'm going to do it every day, I'm in trouble. Most people, after they get married, revisit the question of, did I make a mistake a few times a day? Sometimes a few times an hour. And then they destroy their marriage. So a person has to decide, no, this is right. I'm going to make it work. I don't know how, but I'm going to make it work. Now you could start making it work. So the good wife is the one that agrees more easily. When a person's personality, when a person's soul is more willing to adapt itself and say, okay, I'm going to go with this. So that's what Shlomo Melech is describing as the good wife. When a person says, no, I'm going to fight this, and then he finds himself with inner struggle again and again and again and again, and he can't bring himself to peace, then he's got problems. Now, within a marriage, there are strengths and weaknesses, responsibilities and division of tasks. The kids ask me, can I take ISIS? I say, let's ask your mother. Abba, why don't you answer us?
Thank you for
kids.
And the show.
Laila, I don't know. Your mother has a better picture of what you ate, what you're going to eat, how it affects you to have ISIS in the middle of the day. Let's ask your mother. I don't know. Abba, can we go to the park after lunch? I don't know. Let's ask your mother. 90% of the questions that come up in the house, let's ask your mother. And out of the house too. So there are areas where it's her responsibility. You ask yourself, do I need to sleep or should I learn now? Is that a question for my soul or my body? Well, my soul can drive me up to a point, but at some point my body says, you better go to sleep. Am I hungry now? My soul's not hungry, right? But your body is. You better eat. My soul isn't thirsty, but your body is. Better drink. So, within this relationship, just like in marriage, you can have a certain percentage that the wife has to decide, and a certain percentage that the husband decides. And Chazal tell us that on certain questions, it's the husband's responsibility to guide the house. Well, it's the same thing with that duality within ourselves. Is my body going to decide what type of lifestyle I should lead? When I was a kid, my goal was to drive a fancy car, own a nice house, and have a swimming pool in the backyard. Those were my goals. And then as I matured, I realized that, you know, the physical is what's going to define my whole life. Those are my aspirations in this world. That's what I want. I want to come home to a swimming pool. That's what's important to me. So in our major decisions in life, we want the soul to guide the body. We don't want the body to guide the soul. So if the body is willing to adapt to the soul, then you have a good marriage going on within yourself. But again, you want the soul to guide the body. And that's why he says over here, if a person doesn't have those traits naturally, then he wants to acquire those traits. We can acquire traits. We can acquire good traits. And that's also something if you form habits. You make a decision. What am I doing now? We'll take a great example. You open the computer and there's a link. You shouldn't press on that link. But you might. If you develop the habit, I'm not doing that, you can develop that habit. And then, most of the time, it'll be second nature. We want to develop good habits. I can develop a habit that every time I want to push that button, I instead close the tab. Who's the boss? I always love telling myself that. Who's the boss? You guys know the joke? Yeah, you don't know the joke? Oh, this is a... Don't get upset at me. Okay, a guy tells his friend, tell me, How do you, how come in your house, whatever you say goes? So he says, I walked home one day. Okay, I can't tell this online. Sorry, guys, just a second. He says, I walked home one day. We were just freshly married. I walked through the front door, slammed it open, and yelled in the house, who's the boss? So, my wife walked up and I yelled again, who's the boss? I whacked her once, I whacked her twice. Ever since then, there are no questions in my house. So the guy says, really? Okay, he walks in through his front door, slams open the door, and goes, who's the boss? His wife runs up, whacks him once, whacks him twice. He goes, oh, just this, just this. But working with that story, I always ask myself, I try to ask myself that question, who's the boss? No, because when we're tempted to do something wrong, you have to ask yourself, who's the boss? Who's in the driver's seat? What type of life am I leading? Who's the boss? It's a very simple question. And when we frame it that way, very often, that gives us the kach to say, I'm the boss. Who's I? I is who I want to be. So with that concept, he begins with, Eshet Chayil Miyimtza. Says, there's a wife of valor, that it's her very nature to do whatever you want, to match herself to you. Don't think about it. No one can find that, says the first part of the pasuk. People get married with this false idea. Oh, she's so sweet and she's so nice and the dates are so wonderful. And they imagine that this is the real person and that the morning after the wedding it's going to be exactly like that. And suddenly the morning after the wedding they discover it's not exactly like that. And it only gets, so to speak, worse afterwards. And then they're all frustrated. This is all facade. I didn't think it would be like this. Who finds a woman like that? That says, whatever you want, honey, I'm going to match myself to you. It's not going to happen that way. But there's another way. You can buy her to being that wife. And buying her is not about giving her money. Buying her is about showing her the affection, showing her the love, being there for her, doing everything you can to build the relationship. You want to buy her to be that wife that wants to make you happy, to be your partner in life? Well, that's going to be more, that's going to cost you a lot. That's going to cost you. It's going to be much more expensive than buying precious jewelry. And that, says the Malbim, is the idea of us within ourselves. Who is it, the person that wakes up in the morning and says, I have no yetzer hara, and this doesn't interest me, that doesn't interest me, I find myself to be so naturally in line with the way of the Torah? Okay, that's Eshet Chayil. Yeah, maybe there are people who are born that way, but they're few and far between. They're very hard to find. What's the more common thing? The one who has to buy. He has to purchase that part of himself. He has to work on putting the two parts of himself together. The part that pulls into the animalistic things, the part that pulls into the spiritual things, how do you put them together? Well, you got to invest. It's going to cost you a lot. But you can get there. You can build habits. You can develop. We can develop ourselves so that the two work in conjunction. They're not fighting all the time. But that takes a lot of effort. It's not easy. That, says the Malbim, is the two. Eshet Chayil Miyimtza. We're not talking about the same wife. Don't tell your wives that. I had a wise aleck kid. Tell my wife, how do you stand for it? Every Friday night, Abba asks the question, Eshet Chayil Miyimtza. Back to... He's paying attention, right? Back to Mishlei. So Shlomo HaMelech is preparing us that it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of work to be able to get to the depths of the soul and take out the hidden strengths that are there in the depths and bring them out. We have strengths, but it takes a lot of work to get them out. It's not so simple. We think, I'm going to just do mitzvahs and it'll work out right. Oh, you're going to need to work a lot. Gotta work a lot to bring out from within yourself those strengths of not saying lashon hara, of speaking positively, of forgoing when someone puts down our honor, of not getting upset when someone gets us upset. I read something someone sent me today. I don't know if it's true, but it's a phenomenal story. Things were tense. You know, in World War I, which was the prelude to World War II, you had scores of people killed, over a million people killed. It was a horrific war. And according to what this person wrote, it all began when Germany was upset at Russia for its draft. They felt that the draft that Russia had come out with was a threat of war. And the German minister called the Russian foreign minister. And the Russian foreign minister had just, it was Tisha B'Av, and his servant had just messed up his fish. And so his fish was burnt, and he really liked his fish. It was his favorite part of the day. And when he ate burnt fish, he started yelling at the servant who made him the burnt fish. And as he was in the middle of yelling at the servant, along comes the German minister and says, "I have a question for you." And he turns around and hears the question, and he's all boiled up inside. And so what comes out of his mouth is he continues yelling at the German minister. And with that, the Germans took that as a threat and they started the war. So according to this, again, I don't know if that's true, this story, but that's what they wrote. So where did that all come from? From the anger that's boiling up in a person and he lets it out because she burnt his fish. And then it keeps on boiling and simmering over onto the next guy who comes and talks to him. So it sounds terrible. But we also have things that touch us and upset us and annoy us and bring us to a point where we're seething. How do I conquer that? Shlomo HaMelech says it takes a lot of work. It takes a tremendous investment. You want to build yourself. You want to attain greatness. We all want to. You want to reach inner tranquility. You want to reach inner peace. You want to reach true joy. Well, that involves building and working. And it's real work. It's real work. But it's work that builds a meaningful life. Batach ba lev bala. So, lev is the rulership. Bala is the thought. And if you have a situation where there's constant inner struggle, so then what you're finding is you're not listening to what you really want to do in life. If there's inner struggle, so then you find yourself many times doing what you really don't want to be doing with your life. And even if sometimes you do what's right, you find yourself very quickly going back to doing what's wrong. And then when you do what's wrong, you find that you just lost a lot of what you gained when you did what was right. Suddenly it's like taking a step forward and 10 steps back. So suddenly you lost every time you took a step forward. So a person finds himself where he can acquire a certain amount in Torah, advance, 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 and suddenly he loses and finds himself regressing tremendously. Batach ba lev bala, when can one's heart have confidence? Vishala lo yichsar, and he doesn't find himself missing anything. That's when he's worked and gone to the depths of Mikra. When he attains, when he's paid the price, when he's attained that Eshet Chayil, then he could have confidence. When he doesn't, so then he finds himself without the Batach. There isn't confidence. There's gain, there's loss. Where's the confidence? Now, we all know that there are areas where we've attained this. There are certain areas in our life where you could say, that's done. I can put a check mark there. I'm not going back there. That mistake I'm not going back to. It's clear. We want as much as possible to attain things in our life where we can say, I did it. And I want to say an interesting formula I heard. There are two stages to conquering a trait. There's step one, where you conquer it, and it becomes a point which you say, I want this, and I'm going to do this, and you elevate yourself to a point where you feel like, this is a part of me. And then, the Yetzer Hara sees that the tactics he's been using until now don't work. He's not there. That's it. He's not there. And then what the HR does is guerrilla warfare. When you see you can't win a war the regular way, what do? Guerrilla warfare. What's guerrilla warfare? He waits for a non-standard moment. He waits for an opportunity where your guard is down or where he can bring something really enticing. And a person who feels like he's accomplished something suddenly finds himself with a new attack that's not what he was used to until now. And it's as though it's not fair. Wait a second, what are you doing? That's not fair. Bonjour. I was used to this line, and I handled it. And now this, I don't know if I have koch for. This, I don't know if I feel like winning. Right? Suddenly, there's a new attack. What we need to know is, first of all, be prepared. You conquered a certain trait. You conquered something about mitzvot that you wanted to conquer. Be prepared that after you've conquered it, the Yetzer Hara has to take a new tactic, and his new tactic is going to be that, guerrilla warfare. He's going to find an opportunity to give you a new enticement that's totally different than what it was until now. And step one is to be prepared. But what does it mean to be prepared? The knowledge. And there's another thing that's very powerful. Guerrilla warfare has a certain important weakness. The weakness of guerrilla warfare is that that's all it is. A guerrilla warfare. There's a targeted, momentous attack. And if you could win that moment, you wiped out that guerrilla. That means there's, if a person reminds himself, hey, it's going to happen, and when it's going to happen, it's going to be unusual, and it's going to be different, and it's going to be a totally different and new and harder challenge, but it's going to be a challenge that's short-lived. Usually the guerrilla warfare attack is an attack that's on the spot, and you could win it on the spot. And if you tell yourself, if I win this, then I've advanced again. That very often gives us the strength to conquer those moments too. Once you're prepared that after the regular accomplishment, there comes the accomplishment, you have to be able to stand up to those momentous challenges that'll come up, and they're going to be more rare, then you can really conquer them. You can. And then a person again feels satisfaction. Part of how the Yetzer Hara works with us is perhaps his greatest tool is to make us feel like failures. Perhaps the greatest tool the Yetzer Hara has to make a person fall is to make him feel like his accomplishments are worthless. And once you feel that, then you don't have a desire to continue. You lose all interest. So if we're aware of that, so then we can overcome it and say, I'm not worthless. You know, I'm a big believer in that, right? To end your Shemona Esrei and stand there before the Ribbon Shom and say, thank you, Ribbon Shom. I know I'm great. Can you say that? Can you say, thank you, Ribbon Shom. I am great. And that's why my service means something to you. That's why you put me here, because I am a value. I am a great person. Now I have to do something with it. Okay, gentlemen, we'll call it a night.
It's really good to be back.